You know, it's a real pleasure to see you all here this morning, especially when you got that email saying it was probably going to be quite cold. And then it turns out that they've gotten the heater fixed for the present time. And we'll just have to see about how long it takes to get the whole thing replaced. A number of years ago, a number of preachers started writing in the papers, and they often do that. And they discuss difficult questions, and sometimes the brethren get the benefit of those things, and sometimes they don't. What they were talking about was Jesus God while he was here on the earth. That is, did he have the powers of God, or was he just a man, a moral man, just a man like you and me? And I want to tell you that the scriptures don't say that. What the scriptures tell us is that we're to worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we might say, well, why do we worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Because in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, we're going to read these verses in just a minute, Jesus said that we're to worship God. We're going to find out, however, that Jesus was worshiped by the angels, by his disciples, and by others, and that he accepted this worship. As we start looking at these verses in particular, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10, this I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We do not worship angels if we are going to live by the word of God. Also, we find that man is never to be worshipped. From Jesus' statement in his temptation with Satan, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 9, he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. As you think about our service, we need to recognize that we are to serve God. Now, Jesus himself was worshipped by the angels. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6, the writer says, and again, when God brings his Son into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. That is, when he brought his Son into the world, that was at his birth. As you think about that, the angels chorused, and Jesus accepted that worship as he did the worship from his disciples. At the end of Jesus' ministry here on earth, shortly before he is to ascend, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 9, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, fell at his feet, and worshiped him. Jesus did not tell them to get up. I'm just a man too. He accepted the worship of his disciples. A little bit further down at verse 16 and 17, the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Can you imagine that? Some doubted that Jesus was the Christ. Now, as you sit here this morning, I trust that there are no doubts in your mind about that. But if there are, we need to talk further than we're going to talk in this lesson about that. Is this Jesus the Christ? We had a series of lessons, by the way, on that. And just in case you haven't been made aware, a number of brethren have been working on our website. It's gbchurchofchrist.com. And you'll find that that website has all of my lessons. It's got the PowerPoints. It's got the workbooks that we use. It's got all kinds of information there. And you can also listen to our radio program through it. There's a link to the radio station so that if you're in an outlying area and you can't get the station itself, go on the internet and get it. But what we're going to find out is, as I say, there are lessons. There was a series of six lessons on indestructible foundations. There are filters that you can apply in there so that you can get to those very easily. You can share them with your friends. When they saw Jesus, they worshipped him because he was the Son of God. But even so, it says some of his disciples, that's some of the 11, doubted. John chapter 20 and verse 28. Thomas was one of the ones who doubted. However, it's after this that the passage in Matthew 28 is taken from. Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. We're among that group, brethren. We've not seen Jesus. We wouldn't recognize him if he met us on the street. But I will tell you that you are here because you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now you may say, well, I don't quite believe everything that you say about him. Let's look to the Scriptures only, and let's look at what the Scriptures say in order for us to know what God would have us do. I want you to point out to you that Jesus accepted this worship. He did not rebuke his disciples for it. He rebuked Satan. Jesus told Satan that we were only to worship God. He said, it is written. Jesus appealed to the authority of the Old Testament Scriptures to show that Satan was incorrect in the way he was using the Old Testament Scriptures. You know, Jesus, during his ministry, healed people. And some of them, like the blind man in John chapter 9, said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. And Jesus accepted this worship. Jesus accepted this worship. Jesus himself said that worship is to be given to God alone. Therefore, the only conclusion that we can reach is that Jesus believed that he was God. The Scriptures say that he was God, and Jesus knew that he was God on earth. That should settle it for all of us. But as we look at this explanation of who Jesus was, he was God in the flesh. Going back to a passage in Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 6, it's prophesied, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And as you look at all of these titles that will be given to this child, I hope that you stand in amazement as you think about what God has done, that he has given his only Son, the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, we read, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. I don't know what your picture of God is, but I do know that Jesus is the picture that we have of our God who walked upon the earth. He showed us himself, and in fact, he got upset at Philip when he said, well, show us the Father and it's enough. And he said, have I been so long with you? As you think about these things, realize that you are worshiping Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you ever talk with the Jehovah's Witnesses in their New World Translation, they'll have the Word was a God. There is no indefinite article in the Greek, and the definite article is not present, so it is God, period. It is an interpretation to say that it is a God. No, he is most holy, almighty God. It says at verse 2, he was with God in the beginning. In other words, God did not create him, because it says through him all things were made. Without him nothing was been made that has been made. In other words, Jesus was there to make it all. And as we think about our God, we realize Jesus indeed fits that qualification. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Can you imagine what that meant to his apostles as they finally realized the importance of what they were seeing there? This was God in the flesh. He arose from the dead with a mighty triumph over his foes, our song says. As you think about laying someone in the grave and you say, well, there have been people who've done that. There's a group that I told you about in Korea. And their guy who said he was God died. And so they said, well, he passed it on to his wife. And you say, you guys blew it. Then there's Sun Moon, and he thought he was God, and he died. And from time to time, there are people who believe that they are God, and sometimes they believe that they're the vicar of Christ on earth. We've all seen this with the Pope recently. Boy, did they ever make a mess of that, didn't they? They voted for the wrong guy because he had to step down, and they don't know what to do about that. What do we call a Pope that steps down? He was the vicar of Christ on earth. He was to represent Christ in all things. How could that man step down? Well, they'll find a way to justify it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So John said that Jesus was God. And this is explained by Paul as he writes about Jesus leaving his godly form, his godly body, and lowering himself to man's form, to a man's body. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Our bodies are not the same as those heavenly bodies. We'll get one when we die, but we don't have one now. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Can you imagine what a step down that must have been? To go from a heavenly body to an earthly body? Jesus did that for us. He created all things. But the scriptures all say that Jehovah made the heavens. Psalms, the 96th chapter and verse 5. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, as we read concerning Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I want you to focus on that scripture. I've underlined a part of it. That's my underlining there. For by him, that is by Jesus Christ, all things were created. John said nothing was created without him, so all things were created by him that have been created. And he says both in heaven and on earth, those things which are visible to you and those things which are invisible. Whether they are thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. We are created for him. Now I want you to pause and think just a moment about your creation. What is your purpose here on this earth? The scriptures say you were created for him. Do you truly serve him? You know, we had a good time on the radio program yesterday as a fellow was arguing with us about whether or not baptism saved. And I read 1 Peter 3:21, and it says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. And he said, well, but baptism doesn't save you. And I said, see the problem? That man doesn't believe the Bible. I told him, I said, you don't believe the Bible. I just read it to you, and you don't believe it. You want to argue with it. We need to stop this arguing. If you're sitting here and you had that same argument and you say, well, wait a minute. It's the free gift of God. Absolutely it is. You didn't do anything to merit it. What you need to do is accept his saving grace. And you say, well, okay, I'll accept it. Do you think if somebody gave you $1 million that you just sit there and say, well, I'll accept it. He said, you got to come down to the bank and get it. Oh, no, that would be work. Can you imagine the foolishness of such a situation? He said, well, wait a minute, it's not free then. I've got to go to the bank. I can't do that. Who would do that? Go to a bank to get $1 million for free. I know there are none of you who would refuse that offer. That's why I'm not making it. But as you realize what Jesus Christ has done for us, the creator of all things, both visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have created by him and for him. He is before him, and in him all things hold together. And you want to argue with a man? You want to sit there and say, well, I know you said that, but we don't believe that. Why not? You know, it's just amazing to me that people do not realize that they're arguing with the creator of heaven and earth. Jesus was not an ordinary man. He's not somebody like you or me. We're going to have a discussion together. And you're going to, by your wisdom and wit, put him to shame. That didn't ever happen, did it? If he created all things, he must also be eternal in his nature. In his godly form. Not in his human form, but his godly body? Yes. But not in his human body. But at the same time, that human body was resurrected and taken into heaven. He went into heaven there to stand in the presence of God for us. How is it that you can look up and you can say, well, I know you did this, Jesus, but let me see if I can't make a better deal with you than what I've got. You see, I'm a busy person. And I just really don't have time to do all those things. Inside, some of those people are nasty and I don't want to be kind to them. And, you know, they teach all kinds of different things about you and I just don't know what to believe. Believe the Bible. That's just pure and simple. He created all things, He must be eternal in nature. He was not created by God the Father. He has given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. You know, if God, you look at the Greek, the ton theon, the God, and Jesus are both said to have made the heavens. Could Jesus have been anyone other than God? And you say, well, I don't understand this. The reason is because you're a human and you deal in a physical world and not in a spiritual world where God and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. And you say, well, I just don't understand this. You may not, but let me tell you, the scriptures tell you that it's so. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus was with God in the creation. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God, the Hebrew is Elohim, it's a plural word. God created the heavens and the earth. And you start thinking about, well, God created the heavens and the earth. Was that Jehovah? Was that Jesus? Or was that the Spirit? All of them. They were all there at the same time. God occupies all of the universe simultaneously, the scriptures say. So he's not limited by form, which is the reason Paul gave for Jesus being lower than God. He said he took upon himself he left his godly form and he took upon himself a bodily form. And when you think of that, you say, well, my body's different than his then. Not when he was on the earth, although God dwelled in him. He was God. Jesus is a part of the Godhead. And we still have to remember that God, the Father, is head over all. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. This really blows people's minds. I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man. That is, he is over all. There are some who have not bowed the knee to him. And so we look at him and say, well, all right, he's over all who are in his family. And the man is the head of a woman. I'm not the head of your wife. You know, I'm a man, but I'm not the head of your wife. I'm the head of my wife. So in the family, I'm the head. God is the head of Christ. In his family, he's the head. And Jesus submitted himself to God the Father willingly. That's what the scriptures talk about. And as difficult as it may be for you to accept that, that's what the scriptures tell us occurred. John chapter 3 and verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. But we have to remember that at the end, Jesus is going to return all things to the Father's hand. And so we understand that even though Jesus is God, he willingly submits to God the Father. But at the present time, he has all authority. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 27 talks about this. He has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, that is, God has put all things under Jesus' feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he, that is God, is accepted who put all things in subjection to him, that is Jesus Christ. And when all things are subjected to him, to Jesus Christ, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, that God may be all in all. I recently wrote a short article about Campbell and the fact that he wrote in the Millennial Harbinger, he wanted the end of time to come, and he thought that this country was where it was going to be. And as you think about this, you realize that there are a lot of people who believe that it's going to be over in Israel, and they think Jesus is going to return and he's going to set up a kingdom there. But this verse says that all things are to be subjected to him, and we may not understand what all things are here. How is it that every knee on earth shall bow? Will it be when he returns with his mighty angels in flaming fire? It must be, because it says that he's going to reap vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so you can immediately say, well, there are going to be some then who are not subject to him, who are going to be subjected by the angels themselves as they come in flaming fire to reap vengeance. That's something that we all need to think about. You mean if I don't know God? That's one class. You're not in that class. You've been here this morning. You're not in that class. You've heard about it. But he says that other group is those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you sit there and you say, but are you going to argue with God? We're going to get to that point in a minute when I'm going to say, you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you think about that, why? Well, Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 28 at verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What did Peter do in Acts chapter 2? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. As you think about that, and you say, well, but we don't believe that. A young man told me that one time. Took him another couple of weeks to finally sit there and say, you know, the Bible does say it, and I've got to change. Are you going to subject yourself to Jesus Christ so that you will be passed over when those who are destroyed, who are put away from the presence of the Lord, are going to be forever banished? Is that where you want to be standing, or do you want to do what God says? The Holy Spirit is God. John chapter 14, verse 26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. You know, there are a lot of people who go out there and they say, well, but God still speaks to us today. No, he doesn't. He only does so through his word. How do I know? Because he said he will teach you all things. And John said in John chapter 20 at verses 30 and 31, truly many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life in his name. I don't know why people will refuse to hear what the Word of God says. It's plain. You know, the Greek in here is masculine gender. Greek, like a number of foreign languages, English doesn't have it, but foreign languages do. And you'll have to learn whether rocks are feminine or masculine. And you may say, well, I don't see that this makes any difference. Here's why. In the Greek, the gender for the helper, the parakletos, and the pronoun he are used, and they are masculine. It's not some woman doing this. That's not what I say. That's what God said. John chapter 15 and verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who will proceed from the Father, he will bear witness of me. I told you not too long back, my daughter ran into some young ladies at the mall, and they said, we need to be worshiping Mother God. No, that's not true. It's not found in the Scriptures. They misinterpret a passage. John the 16th chapter and verse 13 again. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. John said, we're going to write it down for you so that you will know. Peter said, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, his divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, Peter died somewhere in the 60s or 70s A.D. That's not 1900. That's just nothing on there except the 60s or the 70s. 2,000 years ago. And let me tell you, if he said that they had everything that pertains to life and godliness then, you don't need to be going around saying, I'm looking for something else, because I know there must be more than what God has given us. You're being foolish in looking for such things, because God has said, I've given it to you. The Holy Spirit is never in it. It's a person, but a person, the Spirit of God. He, present in the creation. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Again, both Jesus from John chapter 1 verse 1, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, which we've read to you, and the Father, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, are said to have been present at the creation, as is the Spirit. Here, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. These three make up deity, the God, Hoteos. The Son revealed the Father to his apostles. The apostles were given the Holy Spirit to guide them and the prophets, as we read there in John 14 and John 16. To write the perfect picture you have in the Scriptures, as Peter says, as John says, so that you can know what you ought to do. And if you're here this morning and you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, let me just tell you that on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up to preach, he concluded his lesson by saying, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." What did they do? He didn't say, "Kneel down and say the sinner's prayer." Somebody told you that, they lied. That's not what God tells you to do. What Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin." You know, you can get baptized for a lot of reasons. I used to illustrate that baptism. It's just an immersion. My son was a lifeguard for a while, and he can do a cannonball. It's just amazing. He really goes down in the water. That's not baptism for the remission of sins, but it is a baptism, an immersion. If you're here and you haven't done that, there's water right here. It's warm. All things are ready. All you have to do is say, you know, the fellow on the radio program yesterday said, "What if we were out in the desert and the man said he believed, does he have to be baptized?" Let me just point out something to you. That doesn't apply to you. The water's here. All things are ready. You can reject God. You can sit there and say, "Well, I know it says that, but surely it doesn't say that." It does. Look it up again. If you didn't like the way I put it up here on the overhead, take your Bible and look. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. It tells you that baptism saves you. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16 says baptism washes away your sins. I'd like to suggest something to you. If you are baptized for the remission of your sins, then as 1 Peter 3:21 says, you can have a good conscience. But right now, your conscience better be bothering you if you haven't done it. Because right now, if you haven't done it, you haven't done what God said you need to do. Think about it seriously. The God, Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth, creator of all that there is, not a man like you or me who died for us on the cross. He didn't just simply take our place. He paid a debt we could never pay. Are you willing to be a part of His church today? In Acts chapter 2 at verse 41, after Peter told them to repent and be baptized so that they might have the forgiveness of their sins, he said that day about 3,000 souls were baptized. And at verse 47 it says, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." That's from the King James. Have you been added to the Lord's church? He's the one that does it. It's not something that we get to sit there and say, "Oh, nope, you're not quite ready yet." All things are ready. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Christ. You have to be willing to repent of your sins, turn from your sinful way. You have to be willing to confess Jesus as Lord, and you have to be baptized. And when you rise to walk, you rise to walk in newness of life, so that you will never disgrace your Lord and Master.